We've shown you how the far left is using the environment to push their agenda.
It's an all-out effort, you know, like a world war, but it's us against greenhouse gases.
I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We've shown you how big government is in bed with all of the powerful players needed to make their socialistic, fascistic agendas a reality.
They've been following your money, and we're about to be choked into compliance.
It all comes together in a new social credit score that's right around the corner. It's called ESG. Tonight, the S, the social justice component, that's about to transform this nation and your life forever.
Coca-Cola making steps to increase diversity in the legal profession.
Apparently we're not allowed to use the term normal anymore.
Let's new commercials about a father teaching his transgender son how to shave.
Dick's Sporting Goods will stop selling assault-style rifles.
I mean, with Nike as well, they're just trying to show that they are also forward-thinking.
It's no coincidence that America's largest corporations are all taking drastic measures to prove their loyalty to the left's woke mob.
And we need to just go right on over and shine their shoes.
And it's trickling down to the most vulnerable among us, our kids.
Critical race theory is making its way into our after-school programs.
SD superintendent said Tuesday that LGBTQ history is a part of American history.
Transgender students in the five high schools now have unrestricted access to locker rooms and restrooms.
Photos from a class were leaked and debated that showed a presentation on white privilege.
Social justice is no longer a simple catchphrase used by the left. It has become a monetized movement to ensure you bend the knee to their demands. And it is coming for you, for your business, for your kids. That is, if it hasn't already. Tonight, I'll show you the proof of the danger that is coming our way. Tonight, comply or die. How America will enforce total wokeness.
Hello, America. Tonight, I come to you with some answers. I think a lot of people have said, why is it these corporations are doing these things that nobody likes? How is it that our government just keeps abusing? How is it we're spending? I don't know if you saw Joe Biden's speech today. $2 trillion worth of spending and another $2 trillion coming after the last $2 trillion that they passed last week. Where are they getting all this money? How does this all end? Tonight, I'll show you. And it is happening at a very rapid pace. And you will understand why when you hear about virus passports. The government says, which should make us feel better, hey, let the private sector do it. Well, no. After tonight, you'll understand why they're saying that and why we can't let the private sector get away with all of this. All right. We lined out a chalkboard recently, and it apparently has, it's a very dangerous tree, and we shook it, and we've got our first real pushback. One of the largest banks in the country, one of the big five, reached out to me and my staff, and I'll come back to that in a second. But I want to tell you that what you're about to see and the fact that you're being documented, even watching this program somewhere, something is being recorded about your participation in this. You will be affected by your choices, every single choice. I built the Blaze for this purpose and this time. And as long as there's one person out there that wants to hear the truth as I understand it and as others on our team understand it, we will be here for you. But we so desperately need your help to stay in business and to be able to afford all of the investigation and all of the rest that is coming our way, I'm sure. You can join us. We've put a promo code right at the very beginning. It's control. You can go to blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code control and you will save 20%. Okay. Let me take you back to how all of this started, because this is the end of capitalism. This is the fundamental transformation of not just America, but the globe, the global economy, a way to totally transform society in the West and the East, as all of us know it. And we need to do something first. We need to forget terms like communism and socialism and national socialism. This is a massive consolidation of power between the government and big corporations. That's fascism, right? Not really. It's a public-private partnership, which has also been called an oligarchy. It is a power play, and all of us on planet Earth are caught in the middle of the tracks, standing in the way. If you learn about this and see it and verify it and stand up against it, you will understand what will happen to you by the end of this broadcast. So that is the what. It's an oligarchy. The question is how? How is it being built? Well, 3 weeks ago, I showed you one of the levers that is being used as their catalyst for change. It's a big lever. It's the environment. That's what going green now is all about. Then we showed you one of the biggest pressure points to force this change. It's banks and finance. Companies are now being assigned a score on how compliant they are in this new transition of wealth. It's called an ESG, and the environment in that score is the E. It's a grading system that is starting now to pop up in all investor portfolios all over the world and our country. I want to show you an image we obtained from somebody who has assets with a major investment firm. Now, note that he neither requested this information nor had it ever been there before. It just popped up. The investment firm wanted to inform him that some of the companies that he's invested in had an ESG score. And if they averaged them all together, the scores of his investment were listed below average. So in other words, 4.7, so under 50% of the people, a score of about 50%, meaning 50% of his investment, they didn't really care about the environment. They didn't care about social justice. They didn't care about anything. So this is a bank putting a grade on his 401k. That's his retirement. And he's being told that your life savings are now a risk. Now here's my question. Why are they risky? Is it risky because they're making products that don't work? Are they about to be sued for something they did wrong? Is it just old-timey, you know, hey, I'm selling a horse and buggy? Why are they risky? Because of the environment and many other things. They're risky now because the government and financial community have decided to collectively turn off the money flow if those companies fail to comply. This is what I showed you 2 weeks ago. Now, I want you to know, I did not make this. This is from the UN framework that was copied and brought over to the United States banking by a United States bank. At the top, you have investment firms that pour money into the economy. Companies like BlackRock that control trillions of dollars. The money trickles down through the banks and is invested either in companies deemed high carbon or low carbon. That's how it used to work. Now let me show you what we're working now. I mean, in a free market, you used to be free to invest in whatever you thought was good. But you can't be allowed to do that anymore. The game is changing. So as the image shows, the spigot is being turned off to the non-compliers. This is what really pisses me off with what is happening with GameStop. The financial world freaked out when private investors did the exact same thing they do every single day. They propped up a stock and made a killing on it. Short sellers do it all the time, and it's completely accepted. But they didn't like it when you did it. How is this any different from what the government is doing all along with big banks and investment firms? Let me go back to that graphic for a second. You'll see that they turn the spigot off here on the companies that are not playing ball while funneling trillions of dollars into others, right? Meanwhile, they're starting to inform you of your risky investments. What happens if we were a publicly traded company, which we are not, nor will we ever be, hopefully. What would happen to our score? And could you even have investment in there? Or would it be too risky? See, the only difference that happened between GameStop and private investors is that this is fully institutionalized, and we're not in the game. Apparently, this is where I hit a nerve. Financial institutions do not like me talking about this. They do not like their name of their bank in the news, especially when this is exposed. So one of the largest banks in the country contacted me in my office a few weeks ago. Our executive producer took the phone call, two phone calls, and a correction was never asked for. In fact, they did not dispute any of the documents that I exposed or what I was saying was coming based on those documents. They just thought that I should be clear, and they wanted to clarify that a person's ESG score wouldn't have any bearing on you at all. That all of the banks, what they're doing at that bank is just helping you with more information. Really? And they said it's not going to affect you at all. Okay, well, I appreciate that point of view. I remember when I was young and naive, and I didn't think things through. But believe me, your bosses who told you to call, they know exactly what's happening. It's my job to look at the news and try to decode it for us little people. What does it mean for the single mother trying to make ends meet? What about the farmer who's hoping and praying for rain this season? What about people like me, a small businessman? I have to risk my own money and I need investment money from time to time. What happens? These are issues that the big government, big banks, and corporations don't factor into their ESG equations because they don't care. What happens to those single mothers and worried farmers and small businessmen when their 401ks start losing money? When the money they invested starts getting diverted to more equitable companies? What happens then? How do you trust the stock market if the investors are the ones grading them? If we're judging companies on what they do, not what they make, not what the demand is, that's no longer a free market. And what happens to the individual if they work for a company that gets hit with these exclusion policies? Remember, these are not my graphics. I'm taking them directly from their reports. What if they work in a factory, an assembly line, or a drilling company that is on the left side of this graphic? What happens to those individuals? Well, it's not going to affect them. Really? No, it's no big deal. In fact, John Kerry has already said what would happen to those people when they shut down the XL oil pipeline. Remember, they all lost their jobs, and how did he respond?
What President Biden wants to do is make sure those folks have better choices, that they have alternatives, that they can be the people who go to work to make the solar panels.
Oh, you're so cute. You just lost your job, Buttercup. Just wait around for a job building solar panels that we haven't created yet. Go to work in a new factory that doesn't even exist yet. That is what big government banks and corporations think about you. They fail to see the impact on the individual because, to put it bluntly, they don't give a crap. All they see is big dollar signs for their future, for themselves. Why worry about you? This is all being done to force public-private partnerships, the merging of big corporations and the financial world with their government for their gain. There is no government mandate, but it is being carried out through private entities. Let the public sector do it. The Treasury, the SEC, the SCIC will make all of the moves while the feds react in turn. Organizations, like unions, which we'll come back to later, will put pressure on businesses from the sides, and you will be squeaked and squeezed until you either pop or you comply. Tonight, I'm going to focus in on the S in ESG, social justice. Have you noticed how many big companies have gone woke just lately? Nike did an ad with a washed-up football star who was his only claim to fame was demonizing half the country. Apparently all cops are racist. Why would they do that? Oh, when they did that ad, they actually won an Emmy for that ad. Gillette, not to be outdone, did an ad that featured a father teaching his transgender son to shave. Dick's Sporting Goods came out against guns. Gucci began donating to gun control activists. I've told you every day, Verizon takes some of their profits and funnels it to Planned Parenthood. Why are all of these companies doing this when they know half of the country hates them for it? Well, because we don't do anything. Nope, that's not it. I mean, it used to be go woke, go broke. But now it's a business model. Why are all these companies doing it? What do they know that you and I don't know? That's what we should have been asking. Coca-Cola offers a very good explanation. They've gone off the woke deep end lately. Whether running Love is Love ads in Hungary or having their employees take training courses on the evils of being white, the course wanted to remind everyone, quote, try to be less white. Coke is all in on the woke train. Rather than just submitting annual financial reports, they are choosing now to publish business and sustainability reports. Oh. Their annual report now includes sections such as how much they invest and give back to communities, how much are they investing in women entrepreneurs, what their track record is on human rights. I'll show you how they define that later. And also what Coke's carbon footprint is. I feel like just saying, Coke, why are you doing this? You make the best soda on the planet. Everybody drinks your product. Why do you care about all of this crap? Don't get involved in all of this. But see, they don't care. And apparently we don't care that they're involved. But the government and financial institutions now do. Social justice now has been monetized, and investment firms are now compiling lists of companies that conform to the ESG guidelines and those that don't. As per the CNBC article, Coca-Cola now shows up on those lists. And as the article reports, sustainable investing now tops $30 trillion in assets. Tell me this isn't all about control and money. The S in ESG is about to get much more than just going woke. These companies are getting out ahead of something that is going to forever alter capitalism. It will be gone. It will alter our financial structure, our financial system, and the way you live. The list of compliant or non-compliant companies is growing larger every day, and none of them want to be caught on the outside looking in. Trillions of dollars are at stake here. So how do they determine what your social grade score is? Well, as you can imagine, it's still being worked out. It's a little vague, and definitely by design. To try to understand all of this, we have to go back to where it all started, and you'll never guess when everything was ramped into full gear. Okay, you probably can't. Hold on. Excuse me. We'll tell you about its history before we get to how they're judging. Oh, and I looked up Facebook's ESG score. Is that interesting? Next. As I mentioned before, the S in ESG is insanely vague, but companies and people's personal investments are being graded on it regardless. I'm going to show you the real-life applications of that score with Disney and Facebook and a couple of other companies here in just a second, and it'll be all start to come together. The world will begin to make sense. But let's go back to the ESG score image that was sent to us. This is from Merrill Lynch, which is owned by Bank of America, one of the members of the Partnership for Carbon Accounting Financials. Now, they're a private organization, and I told you about it a couple of weeks ago. They received the UN framework for altering the global financial system by a U.S. bank called Amalgamated Bank. Amalgamated Bank is a union bank. There is absolutely no explanation on this score that explains why this person's investment scored a below average social score. There is none. So if it is Merrill Lynch's desire to show how it affects you and you can keep score, can you tell us what these ratings mean and who compiled them? Well, we did our homework and we found out they were compiled by MSCI. That's Morgan Stanley. So guess who they're also a member of? The Partnership for Carbon Accounting Financials. All of this loops back to the same place over and over again. But tonight, I'm interested in how your everyday average investor or a business can wind up getting a below average social score. So let's go directly to Morgan Stanley's ESG rating methodology report from 3 months ago. Under social, they list human capital, production liability, stakeholder opposition, and social opportunities. Now, there's little to no explanation of what might be included under that anywhere. Basically, they could be used for whatever they want to do. And that is not a flaw. That is a design. Take stakeholder opposition. Now, this is not shareholder. This is stakeholder. And under this form of, quote, capitalism, we're all stakeholders. You have your voice as a proxy when you elect your representative from the government. So what is social opposition? What does that mean? Is that for when the woke mob comes for you and calls for a boycott? Yes, the company is put at risk. Would your score drop due to some social justice warriors raging on Twitter? And if that's true, the future of your company or even your retirement and 401k could be at the mercy of a few thousand millennials on social media. It all sounds ridiculous, but it's happening. Now, how did we get here? Well, I've been saying for a decade now, what was happening under Obama was nothing compared to what we were setting into motion. The worst was yet to come. Remember, I used to say, watch the other hand. Obama paved the road, and now what they're marching on is what they created. A couple of years into Obama's first term, companies began actively working with business schools to churn out employees that they wanted. Okay, in the new financial world order, quote, companies say that working with business schools is important to ensure a new generation of workers that sees corporate responsibility as a bottom line booster, not something just to feel good about. Well, I have no problem with this. Is this a problem? Probably not something I would report on. Unless you saw what the plan was. Back then, the S in ESG was taught in universities as corporate social responsibility. Pretty soon, companies began creating job titles like social responsibility manager and sustainability officer. I couldn't go to work with a straight face. I mean, be like, you all know this is a scam, right? By that time, it had been taught at colleges and universities for several years. This is from the University of Wisconsin. They define corporate social responsibility as, quote, an alternative business approach that considers environmental, social, and financial performance. Well, at least that one has an F and not just the ESG. This one at least is thinking about financials. Now, not any specifics on what makes a good social company, but no matter where we looked at the curriculum, the overriding theme was to train employees to be activists at activist companies. The main textbook at Harvard's CSR degree was Changing Business from the Inside Out. By 2010, this was going to be pumped out in every major corporation in the country, creating activist employees and inserting them into the workforce. It was put into overdrive in 2010. This is a blog post from a director of a U.S. Chamber of Commerce on what corporate social responsibility should include in the curriculum. He said they learn, quote, volunteerism, board placement, advocacy, communications, public-private partnerships, social media outreach, stakeholder webs, alliance systems. And they would learn about competitor proxies, comprehensive campaigns, flash mobs, and third-party boycotts. Wow. He goes on, by the time that they were done, the students with this kind of grounding would be well equipped to use social capital management, stakeholder relationship, and long-term business development. Well equipped to use. The tools listed were advocacy, social media, boycotts, flash mobs. Is this not how every activist bends public opinion ultimately to get what they want? Even though public opinion, poll after poll, shows it doesn't bend. People just shut up about it. It kind of puts the recent woke companies into context, doesn't it? It begins to explain CEOs are facing employees with slick new titles like VP of Sustainability who are telling them, hey, if we don't ban Dr. Seuss, we may face a boycott. Hey, if we don't praise Colin Kaepernick and defund the police, you can expect a boycott. This leftist social order on big business has clearly worked its way into indoctrination of colleges and university students into our businesses now. Most millennials now say that they would take a large pay cut to work for one of these woke companies. Again, a win for the company. For progressives, though, indoctrination of young adults isn't ever enough. It never is. They're now targeting your children. I just want to remind you what Vladimir Lenin said once, quote, give me just one generation of youth and I will transform the whole world. That is exactly what is happening. I mentioned earlier that unions would act in concert. While the government would set the agenda from the top, the unions would push in from all sides. You're seeing this now happen with the Obama administration. Unions are already out of control, and it's about to get much, much worse. The House just passed the PRO, or the Protecting the Right to Organize Act. It reads like it was written by union boss heads, and I believe it probably was. You don't want to join a union? Well, if you work where they have authority, you know, things are being good. If not, too bad. You don't want to pay them the dues? It's going to suck for you. Unions are already juggernauts, and they're about to get larger, more rich, and much more powerful. And unions are never crossed. If it isn't clear what the union control on the Democratic Party is, there should be no question now. They're using that power to push the country further into crazy town in both business and schools. Do you remember our special on Black Lives Matter, the curriculum that was popping up in the schools all across the country? This is a week-long curriculum plan titled Children and Youth as Change Makers. Oh, isn't this great? The goal is to teach kids how to become social justice advocates and activists and hit the streets. This is for your third grader. It's a 5-day lesson plan, Monday through Friday, and it culminates on, quote, the final day with the following. Children engage directly in their cause of choice. Have children create protest signs for issues that they want to stand up for or against. Stage hallway protests, gym rallies, go out into the neighborhood for a youth march. Does this sound similar to corporate and social responsibility in universities? Does it sound a little like, I don't know, what they were doing with the Hitler Youth? Oh boy, I'm going to get in trouble for that one. Black Lives Matter, endorsed by the two largest teacher unions in the country. Why? The American Federation of Teachers issued a public statement. It said, quote, the National Education Association posted the actual curriculum on their website. And speaking of the curriculum, this one is from the largest online curriculum companies in the country. They are now teaching corporate social responsibility from kindergarten to 12th. Quote, as a result, the children will grow up to be more socially responsible adults. The students create, quote, colorful posters that explain why businesses should be socially responsible. I'm sorry, but this doesn't look like education to me. This is clearly indoctrination. Why are we allowing this to happen in our schools? May I say COVID is the best thing that happened to us because our kids are not getting this bullcrap. By the way, here is a There's a school district in Virginia that announced on Facebook today that they are going to do everything they can to silence the opposition, for anybody who is opposed to any of this being taught in your schools. And by the way, that's just the teachers' union, and some parents that are saying that they're going to do that. If you employ too many white men, does that make you socially irresponsible? What if you don't require training that tells employees to be less white, or you don't have enough inclusion on their board? What if you don't get to a $15 minimum wage like the big woke companies do? Is this what is being taught in our schools? Yes, because companies like EverFi are already in over 20,000 schools. A lot of money is backing this junk. By the way, Home Depot just backed a study for the 1619 Project. One of the founders here of Twitter, Jeff Bezos, his personal investment company is involved. We are so far behind the curve here. Actual business owners, their companies, our investments are being graded by a social metric that no one is even defining in any great detail. But our kindergarten through 12th grade students are being weaned on it. Our university students are getting pushed and pushed harder. And then they're taking that straight into the workforce. Our lives are about to change, and no one will explain how they're going to do it. So I'm going straight to the reports and the case studies, the things that they have already published, and try to make sense of all of this. How will you be deemed socially worthy? Next. Well, here is a company that I don't know how they're going to go socially acceptable. I mean, it's a dog thing, okay? There is dog parks are the main source of dog rape. I don't know if you know this, but that's true. Anyway, my dog has a little bit of this put on his food every single night, Uno, and every morning. And he is a completely different dog. I hear from people all across the country that have the same exact experience. They talk about the Rough Greens magic that happens with their dog. First, the dog loves to eat. And then they start changing. Over a couple of months feeding them Rough Greens, you will see the difference. Now, here's the problem. If your dog doesn't like it, well, then you've just spent money that you shouldn't have. So here's what they're doing. They've made this special bag of Rough Greens. It's chock full of vitamins, minerals, probiotics, omega oils, all the things that you and I are supposed to have. Our dogs are supposed to happen as well. And they'll send this to you for free. It's a free bag of Rough Greens. You just have to pay for shipping. Go to roughgreens.com/Beck or call 833-GLEN-33. Down at the bottom of the screen. 833-GLEN-33 or roughgreens.com/Beck. You really will look back on this at some point, after this financial slavery that we will have maybe for generations. Some point, somebody will look back and go, this was genius. It is really, it's beautifully designed. It's very clever. It's arrogant, yes. But boy, these financial institutions and big banks. Now, remember, we bailed them out in 2008 after they came crying. We gave them our money to stay afloat. And now they have the power to tell us how to do business and how to live. Something I've noticed recently from the mainstream media and the people that are behind all of this is that they try and delegitimize our concerns by calling it a giant conspiracy theory. They say it's ridiculous to think that an organization like the World Economic Forum is secretly plotting a global takeover. For one, I'm not saying that. We think of the WEF as a marketing firm and the Great Reset as their ad campaign. It's their Colin Kaepernick, their Nike commercial. Davos isn't calling the shots. They're just pleading and making the case. It will be the governments teamed up with private businesses and banks that will see, oh my gosh, the amount of money we can make is crazy. And they will carry everything out. The S in ESG is all about redesigning the social contract in the United States, changing a society as we know it. Listen to this from John Kerry speaking at the World Economic Forum several months ago on how society can be redesigned.
I can't think of a moment where it has been more critical for governance to have leadership that is bringing, convening people. Government is going to make all the decisions that we need to make. But government is the great convener. Witness HIV, Ebola, other things that we did prove we could respond to. But what we never did in those responses, and in all of the periods since World War II, is adequately address the social contract.
Did you, in a completely unrelated story, see that Joe Biden said yesterday, when he was asked about this new global contract, that when one country is going to shut down for a pandemic, we all shut down, that kind of thing. And he didn't say no to that. He said, timing is everything. It's just not right that the right time. But John Kerry is telling us government is going to make all of the decisions. Government is the great convener. Notice how he laments the fact that all other crises, Ebola, HIV, that they never seize the moment like they're attempting to do now. To change society, they need to alter the way you view it and the way you interact with it. The social part of ESG is just an attempt to do that. The problem is that no one's really transparent in the way that they're grading it. You have to go back to the original sources. As I said in a previous show, the UN, working in tandem with the Paris Accords, theorized and wrote the initial framework. Those standards were then brought over to the United States through a private organization. It was a union bank. This paper by the UN, published in 2017, is one of the only concrete reports on how the S in ESG is calculated. That's the only place. How? These companies are already getting scores. But in their own report, they admit that it's not really an exact science. No. Quote, the social element of ESG issues can be the most difficult for investors to assess. Oh, so we're the little people. We don't know how to assess that, but they do. Right off the bat, there's a list of a few factors. Human rights, labor standards, gender equality. Okay, interesting. I don't want slave labor or anything like that. I'll get back to you how they define human rights in a second. But I don't remember hearing about Apple getting a low ESG score for their sweatshops pumping out iPhones. Do you? No, of course not. They've proven to be a team player. They're going carbon neutral by 2030. It's all good. Also, I didn't hear about Disney getting a low ESG score after thanking Chinese officials that are connected to the Uyghur genocide. Don't worry, it's okay. We're gonna hit our 2030 sustainability goals, and if that's not enough, why don't we fire that Gina Carano lady? I mean, that'll prove how extra woke we are. Let me show you one more. I looked up the ESG score of Facebook. Bring it up on screen. This is fascinating to me because Facebook has a very low score. Notice environmental, they're a leader. The worst score you can get is a laggard. They have it in overall social and governance. Now, why? Well, show the other pages. There's a couple of reasons. It'll show that they had some problems in Germany. They had some problems here in the United States, with the government. That is their governance score. That's why that's so bad. But social, they're a laggard? Facebook is leading the woke party, right? They don't have it actually in the other pages. It's not listed like the others are. This one is on the first page and it's the bottom paragraph. It says, apart from platform safety issues, Facebook has also come under scrutiny for inconsistent enforcement of content moderation rules. Oh my gosh, thank you. Oh, finally, somebody's fighting for the conservative. Not so fast. Independent auditors found certain content decisions caused significant setbacks for civil rights. They're not canceling enough people. The point here is that this is all about money. It is all about control. There is nothing virtuous about any of this, but they're trying to make it appear that way. And as long as you signal to them that I'm on board, you'll be in the club. Redesigning society is a four-step process, and the UN outlines this process in their report. Stage one, qualitative analysis. This is when they decide to start placing a woke grade on companies and financial institutions. I say was because we're well past stage one. Stage two, quantitating analysis. This is where we are right now. Social compliance is graded and scores are starting to pop up on investment portfolios and annual reports. Stage three, investment decisions. This is where we're almost at. Money will be diverted from non-compliant to the compliant. Stage four, active ownership assessment. The compliant will be monitored, and if they fall out of line, they will be handled via exclusion measures. Remember what those are? The report goes on to list several ESG issues that factor into scoring. They include everything from, does the company pay minimum wage? Do they have a strong workforce culture? How are they on gender diversity? Just put those standards into the hand of someone looking to change the social contract. Imagine how they can use that to go after literally anyone they want. Oh, and you're not going to get $15 an hour? I mean, it wasn't mandated by the government, but you're not going to do that? Lose points. You employ way too many white men. Lose points. Oh, and that loan you wanted? I saw how many things you're doing wrong here. You're a risk because maybe the woke crowd will come after you, so we can't approve your loan now. The social or woke grade is just the lever, and the lever doesn't do any much good without any muscle behind it. No sweat. They've got a plan for that. Back in a minute. So I mentioned earlier that there's something weird going on with how the term human rights abuse is used by organizations like the UN or some of these financial firms. It's almost as if human rights is a catch-all. I mean, remember what I just read to you a minute ago from Facebook. Significant damage to human rights, to civil rights, really? Well, it's all defined by the UN. And I have a problem with the UN talking about grading companies and banks or anybody else, you know, on their human rights records when the UN, let's just say, doesn't have the best track record there. The UN Human Rights Council includes human rights juggernauts like China, Cuba, Libya, Pakistan, Russia, Venezuela. What, no Hitler? No, he's dead. Darn, says the UN. This is the organization instructing everyone how to socially be responsible and how socially responsible you are. After the Paris Accords and the UN teamed up with a law firm to address what happens to banks if they continue to do business with companies deemed as human rights abusers. Remember, it's a catch-all. They produced this report. And in that report, it tells them exactly what you do if the bank doesn't comply. If the company doesn't comply, then the bank has to do something. If the bank doesn't do something, enter the justice system. I'm gonna go over that report with you tomorrow on radio. But I don't want this episode to slip by without me talking to you one-on-one. You might be at this point say, well, I'm never going to say that it's systematically racist. I'm not going through the critical, you know, race lessons at school or at my business. But many of you already have, and you haven't said anything because you know the consequence today. You might lose your job. These consequences are going to be universal. If you speak out, if you're me with a very clear record of what I believe and what I do and what I don't do, I am setting back human rights, I guess. That's what they could say. I won't get a loan. I won't be able to buy a house. I probably won't be able to rent anything either. I won't be able to buy things. I won't be able to get a loan. You will comply if that is the choice. Most will. I just want you to prepare and don't Don't be frivolous on what you think you can and cannot do. Don't dismiss how hard it's going to be, but don't you dare dismiss how strong you are and how strong we are when we stand up together. More in a minute. This is something that I want you to share, this episode, with everyone that you can, that has an open mind and will listen to the warning and see the actual proof of it. I also would like to ask you, if you're not already a family member at The Blaze, become one. Use the promo code CONTROL and save $20.